Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to yet another episode of The Last Knock. I am your host for tonight, Billy Crash. Johnny Numb is walking his cat somewhere, whatever he's doing out in Harrisburg. Tonight we have a really awesome special guest. Very special because this person is known, not only known for his voiceover acting, he won an award for it and everything else, yet horror fans know him as somebody who's very, very quiet, but not a lot of fun to be with. In fact, he's probably not only created a new, helped create and bring to life a new horror villain, but a new horror icon, and that is the great David Thornton. Dave!
Hey, how are you doing?
Great, welcome to the show.
Thank you for those kind words. That was like, whoa, building up my ego.
Good! Yeah, well, it should be, man. You freaked people out. I mean, freaked people out, men and women alike, with your portrayal of Arthur Clown in Terrifier. That was you're so humble.
I do what I can.
Well, how did you know what I said is true? You know, you're a voiceover actor, you've portrayed the Joker before.
No, just a few times.
Just a few. So, and that's cool because that's like a really cool transition into maybe Art the Clown. I don't know. You'll let us know in a second.
Yeah.
But but what drew you to this role? How did you get it? How did, you know, what happened?
Well, I had seen All Hallows Eve, so I was already like familiar with the character when Mike Gianelli originally portrayed him, and I loved the character then. I was like, oh my god, he's like an evil Mr. Bean. I would love to play a character like that.
So that's well
like,
said.
He really is, though. It's just like, because he's like, you know, Mr. Bean has that, you know, this mischievousness about him. You know, he's always just trying to one-up everybody. He's just, you know, he's also silent and just doing crazy things just to get under people's skin. And that's art in a nutshell. So, yeah, I was like, oh, God, I got to play a character like that one day. And I randomly just came across an audition notice on Actors Access looking for a tall, skinny guy that had clowning or physical comedy experience to play Art. And I'm like, yes. Yes. So I contacted my reps and I'm like, please, please, please submit me for this. I'm perfect for this. And they did. And the rest is history.
Fantastic. And it's true. You were perfect for it. It was so refreshing because personally, I the slasher subgenre, I hate it because it's like so redundant and it's like, it's just, to me, it's a joke. And then my buddy, who you've spoken to in through Twitter, Greg Palko of Palko Designs. Because I know he has this, well, as an aside, he has this bust of you. I'm sure he showed you the pictures.
Yeah.
Art the Clown. And,
it's nuts.
It looks like the artist cut off your head and put it on a plate for him. You know, it's crazy.
There's some talented people out there. The funny thing is, like, Damien and I, we were going to do busts of art before all these other people started doing busts of art. I actually had them do a whole mold of my face and everything like that, and he just never finished doing that. I think he's been so distracted trying to do all this other stuff, trying to get part two going. So it's just like,
My gosh, I forgot what my original thought was, but that's perfectly fine.
That happens all the time to me. I was like, I don't know. What was I thinking?
No, but how did you go from, you know, it's funny because you're renowned for your speaking, your voice ability, and suddenly you have to play a role where you're, it almost reminded me a little bit about Doug Bradley as Pinhead in Hellraiser, because I remember he was like, well, people aren't going to see me, they're not going to know me, and now he's like, you know, he's like,
Yeah.
You know, he's held in such high regard. And you were doing the same thing. You're in a mask, you're covered up, and now you have to be silent.
Yeah.
How was that? How was that transition?
It was an interesting transition, but, you know, it's a transition I was really happy to undertake because I look at, you know, what Doug Jones does as well. I'm like, he's known for playing so many, like, these characters, or, like, so many people don't know what Doug Jones actually looks like.
I don't.
They only... Yeah. But, you know, you've seen him in so many things, and I was like, that's a great way to be a celebrity in ways, because you can have, you know, a career where you can play these kind of characters, these really fun, over-the-top, crazy characters. but at the same time have that anonymity about your own personal life, so you don't have to worry about, you know, being mauled by people when you go out in public and stuff like that. So I was like, that sounds like an ideal situation. I was like, that's why I like, you know, being the character actor anyways. It's like, yeah, I don't want to be like the Brad Pitts and stuff like that. I was like, for one, their roles are usually less interesting than the character roles. And number two, he was like, yeah, they're always mobbed by people everywhere they go. They can't have a private life. And I was like, that's, I kind of like that. So yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So you could, you know, hide out in the open and nobody would know it.
Oh, no one knows. And there's been like a few rare occasions where someone's actually recognized me. I'm like, holy crap, how did you even know what I looked like?
Oh man, that's wild. Plus the villain's always the cooler character, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, by far. I prefer like playing the villains or the idiots. For fun. It's like, you know, because you got those lovable idiots, and I don't know what's about those characters, but they're so much fun to play too. I don't know. But now if you can play a villain that's also a lovable idiot, then there you go.
That's true. What was the most challenging aspect for you with this? Because it sounded like you had some clown training. Is that true?
I would say not like professional clown training, but I mean, I learned a lot just from watching like old like silent comedies or like great physical comedians and of old and stuff like that. And you know, then I when I toured with the Grinch for 5 years, I understudied Stephen Carl, who was the Grinch in the show, and he was also Robbie Rotten on Lazy Town.
Okay.
And Stephen was a master at physical comedy. I think he even went to school for clowning, and he was able to like take me under his wing and really help me fine tune my ability. So that's where I got a lot of that from. So yeah, I think that was more the challenging part of the character, though, is how to, you know, convey meaning in an interesting way when you're not able to speak. You know, because I don't want art to be one of those one-dimensional like masked villains that you see in most slashers now.
Where, right, exactly.
Know, the only thing they do is maybe cock their head to the side or something. It's just like,
yeah,
there's nothing else going on. I was like, I wanted art to have that kind of personality like Freddy Krueger has. Mm-hmm. Where it's like you kind of want to cheer for him in that way, because you kind of identify with him in some ways, because you know, he has emotions, and that's what I like about him. He gets frustrated, he gets pissed off, he thinks things are hysterically funny. I think sometimes he might get a little bit, you know, remorse. I can't talk all of a sudden.
That's fine. No problem.
It feels remorse maybe at times. I don't know. Maybe not. But, you know, he can pretend like he does. Like, in, you know, like the scene where he's with the homeless lady and,
yes,
you know, she's
yes.
coddling. He's like, you know, a lot of people are confused by that scene because they're like, wow, was she actually reaching him or was he just
exactly.
fucking around with her? And it's like, yeah, he was totally fucking around with her. But, you know, that's the thing. He's able to convey those emotions where people think that they've gotten through to him, and then he goes, bam, right in for the kill.
Yeah, exactly. And that made the character just even more disconcerting than he already was, you know, which I thought was great. You know, I don't want to talk about the one particular scene because I give something away. It's something I've never seen in a slasher film before, and it was just it was one of the kill scenes. I could you know show you. Yeah, you get what
yeah,
I'm saying.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, it's great to have video in that case, so I could send you a signal.
Yeah.
And I just was like, holy shit, you know, where did that come from? And it was just great to see, like, the look on his face, like, yeah, I'm not going to lose. You know, it's just yeah. like, and I'm going
oh,
to break the mold.
That was fun doing that scene, too, because it was like, because it was a different kill. His reaction to that kill was so unlike all the other kills. He was
oh,
like,
yeah.
that one, he was a little bit more disappointed. Like, all the other kills, he's having so
yes.
much fun killing. This one, he's just kind of like, I can't believe I have to do this, but I'm doing it.
Yeah, well, yeah, she was one tough character, man. That was great.
Yeah.
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 And that was really cool, too. What I liked was the character development all as well in the story. It was, they weren't just disposable characters, like when you
yeah.
watch a typical slasher film and it's all red shirts except for maybe two people or something like that. And
yeah.
who's the final girl? And okay, there she is. And you know, it's like, ah, whatever.
Let's go have sex. Yeah, you're gonna die.
Yeah, pretty much.
The top comes off, you're gonna die. I think that's in a weird way, like with that one scene with the one character being topless, and this is kind of his like wink and nod. It's like, yep, I just made you topless, so you're gonna die.
What kind of direction did you get? Or was it like you were you like allowed to like just immerse yourself and like make Art the Clown your own kind of thing, or
it was both really? It's like that's what was great about working with Damien. It's like we had that kind of relationship with the give and take relationship. So it was like sometimes he knew exactly what he wanted, and other times he's like, hey, let's just play around and see what we come up with in the moment. So that's I love that. I love being able to work with directors like that because I as much as I like to have freedom to do what I want, sometimes I like to have that structure there too, so I know exactly what they want. And I mean, I was always asking questions: what kind of space do you want in this scene? What kind of, you know, just so I knew we're on the same page about things.
So it sounds like the set was a really cool environment. Then it was collaborative and all. So, did you guys have like a lot of laughs before you did a scene, or?
Oh yeah. We'd have laughs during the scene too. We're like, ah, cut.
Oh man, I don't have the DVD yet, but is there a blooper reel? There needs to be then, if you guys are.
There
doing
should
that.
Be. They really should make a blooper reel. I think they, you know, Damien probably has so much footage of me just shitting around on set. I'm like, I mean, I think he could make a blooper reel off of me just riding that bicycle around and by itself, just like, because that thing was the hardest thing to ride. I was always falling. Or like crashing into things, or you know, just whatever would happen. It was, and I think we're also so delirious that night too. We're all so tired and just delirious, and so it was just that was just insane.
Yeah, long shoot days.
Oh yeah, yeah, and that's what it was like. Really, I think that was about 4 o'clock in the morning. We were doing that, we were all just kind of at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, you know, there's one part where I was just going around like singing Bicycle Race with the voice of Herbert the Pervert from Family Guy. So it was just like,
bicycle, bicycle.
Oh my God. Oh, that's awesome, man. That's creepy in its own way.
Oh yeah. Especially when with all that makeup on and stuff like that.
Oh man. How long was the shoot overall? Like,
it was supposed to be about, you know, originally supposed to take about 6 weeks off and on, but ended up taking about a year and a half due to various setbacks.
Wow. Okay.
Also coming in to reshoot some things and add some extra scenes and stuff like that. So, you know.
Oh, man.
Such as indie film.
Yes, yes, indeed. Yeah, I was wondering why it took so long for it to come out. So
It's like, yeah, like we had to sometimes stop and raise a little bit more money before we could go back and shoot some more. So that's just how it goes. It's like when you don't have a studio throwing you like $20 million.
Oh yeah, exactly. Well, I'm hoping for round two that you know, the money's gonna be there ahead of time, and because of the notoriety of the film.
Well, we're working on trying to make that happen right now. We're looking into investors. We might do an Indiegogo campaign or something like that too, just to like to make a little bit more money so we can really do what we want to do.
I think horror fans would respond really well to that. I mean, I just gasped, which means I'm already throwing money at you. So.
Yeah, that's great. We would love that because we want to do as much as we can with this one. We want to go all out on this one. And, you know, unfortunately, you have to have the money to do that, which is one of those necessary evils. Because, you know, I mean, we're not trying to do a bunch of CG or anything like that. But, like, you know, we want to be able to pay people what they need to be paid and, you know, have a good crew, especially for the crew. I think the crew really needs to, you know, get paid well for this kind of stuff because, like, I always think the crew are – they're like the unsung heroes of films in so many ways. Because like me, I just sit there in a makeup chair and then I go to set and do my thing when they tell me to. Then I go back to doing my thing. Like the crew's there, you know, 100% of the time working. You know, it's like when we're not filming something, they're, you know, setting everything up for the next shot and having to reset things. And it's a hard job that those guys got to go through. And I'm like, all the respect in the world to those guys.
Oh, absolutely. And the film, it looked great. The cinematography was solid. The lighting was excellent. The set design was cool. The editing was solid. I mean, all of it worked.
Yeah.
So that's excellent.
Well, we lucked out on the sets too because we didn't have to build those. Those were all that was actually there. That was just like these buildings were that disgusting and just like dilapidated. I was like, oh, well, this works, but I am definitely not going in that bathroom.
Oh man. Oh.
Oh, that building had no running water or anything. Like, it was just, ooh. Ooh. Ooh, that was a freaky building, too. Actually, both those buildings, because one we shot out in Trenton, New Jersey. Another one, part of it, we shot out there at Staten Island, Seaview Mental Hospital, which was freaky in itself, knowing all the stuff that happened in that place. So it's just like, ah.
I'm 90 minutes from Trenton. I didn't even know it, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Let me know next time.
Yeah. No, I don't know if we'll go back to Trenton again. I mean, that was...
Not many people want to, so.
Oh, no. It's like, tell you how it was. We had, like, one night on set, and I was in full makeup and costume and had blood all over me and just waiting for them to film. I think it was the night we were filming, like, the Jenna's, that one infamous scene, with, as you were saying earlier. And there was, like, these two women, like, it was, like, 2 o'clock in the morning, maybe. Two women outside, like, where I was like just chilling out, and they're having this argument on the street, and I'm like, oh, I'm bored, I'll watch this argument happen. And so I'm just watching from this window about, you know, at the first floor, but we're a little bit raised, and like one of them notices me, and I just look at her in a wave because I forgot how I looked. And they go screaming, running off. And about 15 minutes later, like, Damien, our producer, and DP come in. They've got these big smiles on their faces. They're like, Dave, we got some people out here that want to meet you. I'm like, oh, sweet, cool. All right, let's go meet some people at 2 o'clock in the morning. Cool. And there's, like, this garage door, and they're like, don't come out until we tell you. I'm like, okay. So I roll up the garage door, and I look up, and they're like, 15 of like New Jersey's finest in full riot gear. They're ready to go to war. And I'm like, oh, I just felt my butt just like puckered. I was just like, it's like, oh no. I'm like, what's up, guys?
Oh man.
And they just start laughing their heads off. And I was like, yeah. I was like, wow, this is how they respond to this part of town to anything like that. Like, oh god, they're like, yeah, if you had come out first, we would have shot you on sight. I'm like, yeah, I believe you. And so the fun thing was, like, we had a porta potty out there. That's where we were going to, you know, do our business. I'm like, man, I am so glad I was not out in that porta potty when they first showed. That would have been bad.
Yeah, pretty much. Welcome to New Jersey.
I'm an actor.
I swear. Oh, that's funny. Oh, man.
That was nuts. It was nuts. I loved it, though. There was even, like, one of the guys is like, you know, he's afraid of clowns. He wouldn't even come near me. I'm like, dude, you've got the grenade launcher. I think you're okay. And, like, they're like, hey, yeah, we even have, like, you know, if you need a body, we got one down at the station right now. If you guys need one, we're like, that's okay. It's like, we still don't know if they were joking or not.
They probably weren't joking.
I don't know. I just don't know. But that's New Jersey.
Yes. Oh, yes. My home state. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you can't pump your own gas.
It's so weird, man. It's so weird. I don't know. That and Oregon, the only two states where you can't pump your own gas.
So great. Like, my dad had, like, this big, huge argument with the guy at the gas station because he's like, I can pump my gas. You don't need to do it. Like, no, sir, I have to do it. It's like, Dad, it's the law.
Yeah, it's a state law. Yeah, it's crazy. Oh, man. Yeah, you know, it's funny that you mentioned, you know, being a fear of clowns is so prolific. It's really one of the most intense fears that a lot of people have, genuinely, which added to the whole mystique of Art the Clown that you created and delivered. You don't have a fear of clowns, I gather, right?
No, not at all. I mean, I grew up, I loved clowns growing up. I'm going to the circus. I, you know, also watched the Bozo Show like every single morning as a kid.
Wow. That's dedication.
I love that show. Oh, man, I loved Bozo.
What was it about Bozo that drew you in?
I loved clowns. I just thought they were entertaining to watch and, you know, they're funny. So it's like, oh, they're just, you know, pure amusement for me. It was like,
Yeah.
it wasn't just Bozo. It was like everybody that was on the show. Like Wizzo, I loved Wizzo. He did all,
Yeah.
Blackstone the magician. He used to do all the magic tricks and everything on there. I was like, I love this. And Cookie, who was always like, the foil to Bozo. It's all, poor Cookie. Yeah, I used to love that show. Oh man, I'm dating myself too because most people are like, what's the
Nah, that's
Bozo
okay, man. No, I remember that when I was a kid too. That freaked me out a little bit. No, it didn't
show?
freak me out. It was just, and I remember when I was little, I was getting confused between him and Ronald McDonald a little bit because it looked
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
yeah, he looked like he was a Bozo ripoff. You know, I was like, what's
Yeah.
going on? But
Now, if you've seen the original Ronald McDonald when it was oh, what's his name? Not Wilford Brimley, but Willard
okay.
Scott. Willard Scott, though, like how he looked when he was Ronald McDonald, that was scary looking Ronald McDonald. He had like garbage all over him, basically. It's like,
Yeah.
oh. Now I'm imagining Wilford Brimley as Ronald McDonald.
Well,
You
I know.
have your diabetes.
Yeah,
Going
exactly.
to McDonald's, get your diabetes.
Oh man. I think the scariest thing now, because they practically made him a clown, was Burger King. You know, they have this like
Yeah.
plastic, this, you know, V for Vendetta like mask on him now and stuff, and it's like,
That's
what?
kind of weird. And I was like, yeah, Ronald wasn't scary. Though
No.
I did piss off Ronald McDonald one time.
Oh,
Because
gotta hear
back
it.
when I was back when I was a kid, they used to come, like Ronald used to go to different McDonald's and put on shows. Yeah. And so he came to my hometown, and I was big into doing magic tricks and stuff like that as a kid. So I knew how most magic tricks, I was like the bane of every magician because I knew how the tricks worked. And Ronald came and he called me up to help him do the collapsing wand trick. And I knew how the trick worked, but he kept spitting in my face when he was talking. And like 7-year-old me got pissed off that I was getting spat on by this clown. And so when he gives me the wand, because it was supposed to collapse my hand, I knew how to make it not collapse. And I'm just like, I just look kind of looked at him. He's like, huh? He's like, let's try that again. Here you go, David. I'm like, okay. And still not collapsing. I just kind of look at him, this smug look on my face. And I was like, don't spit on me. He's like, okay, you kid, get up here. You go sit down.
Oh man, he's like, yeah, one of those kids.
I was a little smart ass. My mom's like, David, Howard Thornton. It's funny that I now go professionally by the name that my mom always used to tell me I was in big trouble with. So it's like, yeah.
Then
You
how?
heard the middle name, you're like, oh shit.
Same with me, man. Absolutely the same. You know, I'd get the William Douglas, and then on with the rest, and I'd be like, oh, I'm screwed.
Oh
I'm
no, I'm
not going to
gonna
make it to my
die.
next birthday.
Oh, my mom also did this whole thing where she wouldn't even have to do anything physically. She would just go, I'll remember this.
Oh,
And you're like,
man.
oh God.
Because you
Because
knew she
she
would.
would. She would. It'd be years later, and she'd be like, remember that time? I'm like, oh, hell yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, mom's a good for that, man.
Man, that guilt trip, man.
Yeah, can't escape it. You can't escape it.
Oh, you can't. You can't.
No. So you must have, were you a big Joker fan growing up too?
Oh, God, yeah. No, actually, that's the one clown that did scare me. I take that back because back when I was like really little, maybe like 2 or 3 years old, I had a bunch of those Mego Batman figures. If you know, those are those big, huge, giant ones. I had the cloth outfits and everything like that. I'd have a fortune if I still had those things. But, I had the Joker figure and he scared the shit out of me. And my mom had to end up hiding him up in the closet so I wouldn't see him because I was just like, ah, but you like the show. That's the same guy. Ah. It was so weird.
Yeah, the Joker was something else, even early on, like from the early comics, reading the stories, like he would just like murder like a busload of
Oh,
people
yeah.
and just laugh and walk away, and it was like, oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what I liked about him. It's like that makes him more interesting. It's like the stuff that most people would be terrified of, he thinks is hilarious. And that's kind of the approach I took to art as well. It's like that's everything else, he thinks doing this stuff is funny. It's pure amusement for him. I'm like, that's messed up.
Yeah, and well, the thing is, he owns the room. You know, when he really, you, I mean, as soon as you see Art the Clown, like, you know, when you're sitting there in that, like, that pizza place, that whatever, it's just, it's like you could just tell. It's like, everybody's screwed. You know, it's just like automatic.
Just like, oh, you're all gonna die. Oh, yep.
Oh, man. No, I
But,
really. No, go ahead.
oh no, that's but yeah, that's just how it is with the character. He kind of owns the room as soon as he. I've noticed that even like when I do these cons, when I do my costume appearances, I just walk through the con and it just seems like everything just goes. Whoosh! It's like every
Nice.
like yeah, it's like whoa, attention's on me.
So what
It's
it,
just something about him. It's like
yeah.
it's even when other people are dressed up and when they're cosplaying as them on the floor, it's like you just see, you know, everybody their attention goes right to him.
Well, I think, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that because, you know, thinking about it was great to see a character in white, you know, who's like anything else but, this white positive figure, at least in Western culture. I mean, in Asian culture, it'd be like he's representing death, and that's awesome. But
Oh, I
so,
never thought of that. That's so true.
yeah.
Symbolism.
Symbolism, yeah. So I really like that. And of course it's great too when he get when things get bloody, you know, it's like he gets to wear his artwork. Art gets to wear his own art, you know, so I thought that was pretty cool too.
No, what's black and white and red all over? Art.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man. So you do have a new movie coming up, right? Exigency?
Oh God, I forgot about that. I recorded that almost a decade ago, actually,
No
oddly.
shit.
I recorded that probably about 10 years ago. So yeah, I forgot about that.
It's in like post-production now.
I thanks for reminding me.
You're welcome.
Oh God, I'm almost afraid to hear what I sound like in that. If I remember, like the character I played, I almost did this like Audrey 2 type of voice for it. So
Wow. So it's a science fiction, I believe, or
If I remember, it's been so long.
it's supposed to be released this year.
Oh, fantastic! I love hearing that. I'm glad something's happening with it.
Yeah, after all this time, damn.
That's just how it goes. That's how it goes. I did like another film almost a decade ago too, called The Champion. That's basically been in post-production for that long too. It's an animated film. It's just trying to, you know, it's like when you're an independent film, sometimes it takes forever.
Oh man, I can't even imagine. Oh. No, I understand. I mean, this type of entertainment is so, it's not just costly, it's time consuming, and it's not like, hey, like here's the new book from, David Howard Thornton, and you wrote it and it's out. It's like now you have to, the collaborative efforts, it's just crazy. So
It's crazy. I've learned about all of those aspects of it since doing this because I didn't realize what all really went into making a film, and just the publicity alone is a nightmare. It's just like, jeez.
yeah. Well, you know what? Word got around really quick about Terrifier. People were talking about it right away.
Thankfully so. I mean, it was the fans that really made it that way because we didn't really have a lot of publicity when we came out. It's like you didn't hear anything from like major sites like IGN or Hollywood Reporter or anything like that. So it's like it's you still haven't like IGN still has not said anything, which surprises me. It's like because they do like their monthly top horror films on Netflix, and they never mention independent films. And it's a shame because there's so many, it's not just us, but there's several like really good independent films that are out there,
Oh yeah.
especially horror films on Netflix that, you know, are not being, you know, seen, but they keep on rehashing the same ones, these like mediocre ones, I think, on their list. I'm like, guys, give some love to independent film. But I think it's because, you know, they probably get so much funding from those studios.
Exactly. Yeah,
So
exactly. Well, I see things changing rapidly for, the character that you created, the whole what will become a Terrifier universe, an Art the Clown universe. I know the script's done for the second movie. Is that right? So have you seen the script yet?
Oh, yes.
Oh, you love it? You love it?
Oh my gosh, I love this script so much. There's so many scenes in this. I'm just so freaking stoked to film because they're just gonna be a blast. This is over, like especially this one kill scene. Like Damien and I keep on tweaking things on it, you know, just adding more to it. I'm like, oh God, this might surpass that one infamous scene in the film. And we're like,
Wow.
oh boy, this is gonna be brutal.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
do you have any idea when when Damien hopes to go into production?
Hopefully this fall.
Really? Oh, man.
Hopefully this fall. Hopefully this fall. Yeah, it's like, you know, that's what we're aiming for. And we'll see. It just depends how soon we can get our funding and then, you know, start casting and go into pre-production. So, you know, because I think we have a few locations already in mind. So that's
Excellent.
already good. Yeah. So we'll see what goes on from there.
New Jersey, New York again, you guys are going to be?
Yeah. Probably so, you know, but you know, if there's other locations somewhere else that are even better for us, you know, especially cost wise, that'd be even better. So,
Yeah,
you
no,
know,
definitely.
we'll go where we have to. We're making this happen no matter what. So it's like, because this, I think this script is so much better than Terrifier, because it we
Wow.
fleshed things out better in this. Because you know, I know like that was one of the main complaints of Terrifier. There wasn't much plot to it.
I was
And
fine with that.
oh, I know, me too. But you know, other people are like, oh, there's no story, you know, that we don't know why this is happening. He was like, I'm like, okay, well,
You don't need
but
to
you
know
know,
that.
oh, I know. Well, we also wanted the audience kind of be in the same place, in the mindset of the victims, because all of it basically happens in real time.
Yeah,
So we
exactly.
want them to be in as clueless as the victims of why is this guy doing this and stuff like that. But you know,
And
in
that's
this
why it
one.
worked.
Yeah, in this one, you see a clear motivation behind Art, why he's doing some of the stuff he's doing in this one. And,
Okay.
you know, yeah, there's a reason for it.
All right.
So there's more of a narrative element to the sequel. So
Like,
it's gonna be fun. Oh, God, it's gonna be fun.
Oh, that's what we want to hear. Yeah, you have to let me know if there's a campaign and all. Let me know and
Definitely. I'll be, you
spread the
know,
word, man.
if we end up doing a campaign, I'll definitely be posting on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, all that kind of stuff, you know. I'll let the world know, because you know, that's how it's the fans that made it the first one success, and I have a feeling it's going to be the fans that make the second one just as more successful.
Well, that's cool. Well, I mean, you know, look at it this way. If when a horror movie comes out, if it's not good, the word gets out quickly. And if it's great, it gets out quickly. So, I'm glad, the fan base was definitely on your side,
Yeah, me
for
too.
sure.
I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah.
I was so worried, especially because like
Why?
I was worried how they were going to respond to me versus Mike Gianelli, because I know how I am as a fanboy when another actor takes the place of someone else. Oh God, no. I'm gonna, you know, all that's gonna come back and bite me in the ass. All those like, oh, this person shouldn't be cast as
Yeah. No, I know.
Yeah, so but it worked out great, and you know, it's like we thought Art would be received well, but we were also trying to be realistic because we knew it, we were like, well, we're just an independent film, and who knows if anybody will actually see us.
Well, the good news is so many people have, so many people love the movie, and I hope that you realize like, well, we did it. So I hope you're more comfortable now with where you're going to
Oh.
take it.
Oh yes, we are definitely. Yes, I think even Damien writing the sequel, he was a lot more confident. You know, just like, okay, now I know
Awesome.
what I'm doing here. Okay, cool.
Yeah, because now you know it works.
Yeah,
So that's excellent.
we know what works, and I think that's what also worked is like, you know. When he wrote the first one, he wasn't accustomed to me as an actor because he didn't know me at the time, so he didn't know what my style was. So
Right.
he didn't write things with me in mind. And this one, he wrote certain scenes with me in mind and how I would handle the scene. Like, you know, look, we'll
Excellent.
just let David play around in this scene and I'll give him
Nice.
some ideas. So that's what's been fun about this. We had that kind of collaborative effort with each other. So, you know, that's why
Yeah.
I'm stoked for this. So stoked.
Nice. How are you preparing differently for this time around as Art, or Just gonna jump in? No,
I'm just gonna jump right in. I know who Art is now. It's like that was, you know, doing the first one. It was a lot of experimenting with the character because Damien and I were still discovering new things about the character as we were going along. We were still fleshing out his backstory in our minds while we were going along. Mm-hmm. So, but now we know who he is, and so we now know how to approach certain things with him character-wise.
Right.
So yeah, that's what's kind of fun about it. And this time I know where I'm going with things. So.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And so there is room for improv within the script then for you. I mean, you're
Definitely. Definitely so. Especially one scene is, it's kind of going to be kind of like our diner scene.
So, okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
No, that's great because I know some, you know, some directors with their scripts, it's like, this is like, if it were Hitchcock, forget it, man.
Oh, yeah. Kubrick or...
yeah, you're going to stand right there. You're going to move 1 inch and like, okay, you know, and you're like a prisoner of the director, you know?
You know, I've dealt with directors like that, especially on stage, and it drives me crazy because I like to play. I like to experiment and see what new things I can come up with a character. But when like you have someone telling you every like micromanaging everything you do,
I was just going to say that micromanaging.
Yeah, it's like you don't feel like you've actually come up with a character. You know, like where's the character? Like this is all just copy and paste.
Yeah, well, you're not allowed to be an actor. You
feel like a robot.
Yeah, exactly. Puzzle piece. That's awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you have that relationship. I'm glad Damien's that cool.
Yeah, and, me too. It's like we have so much fun. It's like we talk all the time. I was just talking to him earlier today. It's just like
nice,
you know, about things. So it's just like, you know, it's like we're not just like, you know, director and actor. We have a good, you know, personal relationship with each other now too.
Oh, so it's that's like, excellent.
Yeah. So I think that will translate well to screen.
Oh, I think it already did. I mean, I was so impressed watching this. You know, Greg's like, Bill, you got to see this. You know, you know, you got to see this movie. I'm like, all right. It came out, and I was like, within like just a few minutes, I'm like, I remember going, oh, they know what they're doing. You know, everything, mm-hmm. the look, the title sequence. I was like, this is great. This is, you know, I don't know what the budget was for it, but if you guys had like $10. I mean, you knew what you were doing. I've seen, you know, gosh, I've seen $4 million horror movies, which is like the average low budget, I think, for like a Hollywood based. And it's just garbage, you know, and it's like.
Oh, I saw one recently on Netflix. I don't know if I should name it, but it was like, it was made for $5 million. It was called A Haunting It on Fraternity Row.
Oh, I passed that one up because it looked
awful.
Yeah,
just pass it up. It's just like, but it was like, I looked at the budget and I was like, I'm curious what the budget was for this. And it was like $5 million. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, where did it go?
I think all that went to the crappy CG they did for like the demon in it. So it was just like, geez. It's like, but that's what pisses me off. It's like you see these people that are willing to put millions of dollars into something like that that's so generic. Mm-hmm. There's nothing interesting about it at all. I'm like, but then you have not just us, but several other independent filmmakers out there that, you know, have some great ideas,
yes.
Some amazing ideas, wonderful scripts, but they haven't gotten the funding, and that's a shame.
Yeah, it is. That's the biggest, that's awful.
Yeah.
You know, because as somebody, you know, I watch, I don't know, like a million horror films a week, and they're all like the same. I mean, they really are. I've seen this before. I've heard this before. It's like over and over again. And
too many jump scares.
It's just awful. And you know, it's like I really don't like slashers because, you know, what I said before, it's like the same thing over and over again. And this was different in all the best possible elements.
It was needed. I'm like, I'm always happy when I find like new, like especially slashers that are like they're breaking the mold in some ways. And and it's like, you know, like The Final Girls. I thought that movie was. Have you seen that one?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I thought that one was extremely clever in how they handle like the slasher genre. You know, but it is like a movie within a movie, and I was like, this is brilliant.
Yeah, I liked that one a lot, and the one I liked more, I can't remember it. It's about what happens to a final girl when all is said and done, and it's about her coping with PTSD. And she's,
Oh, cool.
yeah, so she's seeing like the killer come back at her again, even though she killed him, and she's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And they made that for like, they had like $5 budget, but they like put their heart and soul into it. It wasn't
Yeah. Oh,
perfect.
that's great.
Yeah, I can't remember it offhand, but it wasn't perfect, but I was happy with the clever elements to it and the passion behind it, which
Yeah,
is great.
yeah.
And I think that's part of the reason that Terrifier works really well is because, you know, passion was the currency that kept it afloat,
Yeah.
you know,
Well, it's
and
like we all love
comes
doing
through.
horror. We all love horror, like Damien especially. He's like he was named after Damien from The Omen. So like
Wow,
he
that's
grew up.
awesome.
That he was watching horror films when he was like 3 or 4 years
It's
old.
in his blood.
Yes, really in his blood. I'm like he's like an with the exception of maybe my roommate and like Joe Bob Briggs, like they just have like encyclopedic knowledge of like horror films. It's like Damien's like that. It's just like it's I love it. And it's, but you know, he made the movie that he wants to see, and I think that's important. It's like when you put the people that are actually passionate about that type of genre in charge of making the films of that genre, that's when you're going to get the better product.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not just
Absolutely.
some studio just going, okay, let's just copy and paste another mask, killer and, a bunch of teenagers running around and they just get killed and that's it, and nothing else. And
Yeah, bad date movie, and it's like for teenagers. No, but it was just really well executed. What are some of your favorite horror movies? Do you have any
Oh gosh, I love the classics.
Oh, okay. Universal Monsters we're going to?
Oh no, well, those are great too, but I'm like I'd say my classics are like the 70s and 80s, like kind of
Oh, okay.
like my top five I usually say are like Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3, Dream Warriors,
Nice.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Omen, Exorcist, Halloween.
Wow, a big
Those are
five,
just,
yeah.
yeah, they're just good. Then they still hold up. I can go back and watch them now and I'm just like, damn, that's still good.
Yeah, it's funny. Like my go-to decade for horror is actually the 80s, because for some reason, like they took more chances, things were more original. You know, practical effects, of course, were
Yeah.
just like which I just love. And
Oh, me too. Me
yeah.
too. There's such an over-reliance on CG now instead of practical effects, and it drives me nuts.
Yeah, it drives me nuts too, and I hate it when it's done poorly. Like, digital blood splatter is the worst
Oh,
thing in the
God.
world. It's
It
like,
looks horrible.
it does, and it's like, if you know it, you have to know it looks horrible, so why are you putting it in your freaking movie?
Yeah,
That's what.
and it's cheaper to use the actual practical effects. You
Yeah, exactly.
just get a simple blood pump and go. Pfft, there you go.
Yeah.
You got your blood geyser.
Yeah,
Easy.
you might have some cleanup issues, but other than
Yeah,
that,
but
yeah.
it's water soluble. It's
Yeah.
fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's what was fun for us. It's like like when people are getting splattered, they're really getting splattered.
Oh yeah, and that was really cool about it. It
Yeah.
was visceral, you know?
Oh yeah, I loved it. It gave me stuff to work with, and I'd have to sometimes like try to hide the tubes and stuff like that as best
Yeah.
as I could. But that's what I loved about it. I mean, that was like my biggest gripe with the first It movie is like they used way too much CG in that when they could have just used practical effects. I was like, ugh.
I know, and I don't get it. I mean, I can't say I hate, CG effects, but it always comes down to, what kind of, what kind of money you're going to throw into it.
Yeah.
And again, like the necessity, it's like, well, you could have used a practical effect there, something in camera that would have looked really awesome, but you blew it. Like, why would you even think of doing that?
Yeah,
That's what bothers me.
exactly. Especially when it's like really bad CG. It's like, oh man, if you had actually just done a practical effect there, it looked so much better. Because
Yeah.
I look at like, so many times when I see werewolf transformations in movies, and it's that CG, and it looks so bad. But then you go back and look at, American Werewolf, and you're like, that
Incredible.
transformation is incredible, and it still holds up today. It's
Oh
just like,
yeah.
that is amazing to
Yeah.
watch.
That's why I like Dog Soldiers too. They did it was just
Yeah.
boy, they kept it real. Actors on still they had like some of the wildest looking werewolves,
Yeah.
like they're monsters.
I mean, it had been a bitch to wear all that, but it
Yeah.
looked awesome.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. You don't have to worry about lighting or anything else. It's
Yeah.
just yeah, No, I agree with you all the time. So I get okay. So the cool thing is, Terrifier 2, you love it more. You love the
Oh,
script.
yeah.
That's good. Practical effects again.
Oh, yes.
That's
Oh, yes. Yeah,
great.
I'm very interested to see how he's going to do some of those practical effects, too, especially like that one kill I was telling you about. It's like, oh, that's going to be. Ooh. But that's all going to be practical, too. So that's going to be a messy, messy room.
Oh, that's oh, filmed in Bloodorama, Terrifier
Yeah,
2. I love it.
exactly.
That's very
Exactly.
cool. Well, we're sort of winding down here, I guess. So I'm going to ask you my famous. It's not famous, but I just love it because some people only a couple of people have been able to just like answer it like that. But
Yeah.
because you've been to conventions and you've been around, Terrifier has been so well received. You've done interviews and such. What haven't you been asked in an interview that you wish the person had asked you because it's something you really want to talk about?
Oh God, that is a good question.
So that's this is your platform now, man.
Yeah, it's like, I guess it's like, why I got into acting in the first place, because a lot
Let's
of
hear
people
it.
don't ask me that, and I would say that's it's I mean, I started out acting like church theater and stuff like that, but like my mom, I when I was in middle school, because this is like, it's something that's very near and dear to my heart, is like bullying. It's
Okay.
like, 'cause I was
Interesting.
bullied relentlessly in middle school. I mean, I was
Same
like
here.
this. I was like almost 5 feet tall. I was shorter than everybody else. I had
Yeah.
glasses, braces, skinny as a rail. I had not hit puberty yet, so I had, I was a boy soprano in the choir. I
Gotcha.
wasn't, the only sport I was good at was soccer. So I, you know, and this is in the South in Alabama where everything's all about football. And it's just like it was, oh boy, that was rough. It was rough. It was like, it's like those years were brutal for me, especially my 8th grade year. I attempted suicide my 8th grade year
Holy
because I
shit.
just couldn't take it anymore. I was just, it was like, it was shortly after my grandmother died, and it was like one day in school, I kind of just lost it in school one day because I was just so sad because I was very close to my grandmother, and all these
Right.
kids just started making fun of me because I was upset about my grandmother dying, and
Oh, I'm
it was
sorry.
just like.
That's horrible.
Oh yeah, but that's how it was. That's, middle
Yeah.
schoolers are little shits.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, it was just like, and it was bad. And I had, like my mom, had seen me, and I had done like, church productions and stuff like that.
Right.
And I used to do like little, sometimes do a little bit of stand-up comedy stuff. And I was always doing jokes around the house and just being wacky and funny and stuff like that. And my mom's like, "Have you ever shown these your peers like this side of you? Have they ever seen this?" And I'm like, no, they don't want to know me. They won't let me show them this side of me. And she's like, well, you need to find a way. And I was like, well, that 8th grade year, they my choral department did Mickey's Christmas Carol,
Okay.
and my mom's like, you need to go out for Mickey Mouse in that. You do a great Mickey Mouse impersonation, and you should go out for that. You'd be perfect for that role. I'm like, oh, okay. So I did, and there was this like night on stage where part of the set fell down on top of Scrooge and I. It was because we had these cardboard boxes basically for the our backdrops and stuff like
Yeah.
that, and it fell down on top of us. And I made some improv where I was like, "Oh, Mr. Scrooge, I think we have mice."
Nice.
And other stuff happened too. Like apparently, like the table for the Cratchit scene with the turkey fell apart, and it launched my turkey across the stage. And I made
Oh,
some joke about that. I'm like, oh, that's fast food.
Oh, nice. Nice.
It was just. I was making all these
Yeah,
jokes,
you're a natural.
and I had people just laughing hysterical and just eating out of the palm of my hand. I'm like, I like this.
Yeah.
I once they're not laughing at me, they're laughing with me. This
Yeah.
is wonderful. I love this feeling. And my mom's like, well, let's get you involved in doing theater then. Let's get you auditioning for like local community theater productions. And I'm like, okay. And it took me a few tries, and I finally got cast in my first like production as an offstage voice in a children's theater play of Rapunzel. That was a magic stone. I was a talking rock. But that was my start. And
Yeah.
I went and just built from there, and that's where I found my love for all this. Because it's like, for one, as miserable I was in school, for like at least for a little while, I was able to escape and be someone else for a while. And
Yeah.
when I was that other person for a while, I was making people happy and entertaining people. And I was like, this is magic. This is true magic. And I'm like, okay. And that's I think that's when I found my calling in life.
I think you did, and I'm glad you did. I'm glad we didn't lose you.
Yeah, me too.
Good.
I was like, well, I like to say theater saved me. It's just like, because I lost my mom back when I was in college,
Oh,
and I went
sorry.
there very, but that's what saved me. It's like I was going into this downward spiral because I had a lot of other things happen around that same time in my personal life, and it was just like I started doing a lot more. I just started digging more into doing theater, and that's when I decided to move up to New York and stop my, because I was a elementary education major in college,
Okay.
and I was like, I'm not happy. What's going to make me happy? This is what's going to make me happy. So I don't want to teach anymore. I want to go do this. I want to make other people happy, and this will make me happy.
Yeah. Do
And
what you love.
that's and that it saved me. It
Oh,
saved me.
that's fantastic. Oh, well, that's great. Well, man, I'm glad we got to it.
I mean, I've sometimes had like questions a little bit in like how did you get into acting, but it was like, but not in that kind
Depth.
of like not in the depth I want to go into it with,
Yeah. That's man, that well that's fantastic because whether you know it or not, this isn't going to be your last time on the show. You are welcome to come back on anytime.
Fantastic. I'd love to.
Yeah. Good. The door's always open for you. Just let me know. Bill, I want to come on. You're on. It's
Sure,
automatic.
sure, sure.
Oh man, thank you. Thank you for saying so. Well, where could people find you, hear more about you, your upcoming projects, theater and on film? Let us know.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under some variation of David Howard Thornton, maybe David H. I think on Twitter I'm under David H. Thornton, but on like Instagram and Facebook I'm David Howard Thornton.
Okay.
Yeah. So
Excellent.
that's how you can find me. Even YouTube, I think I'm on there too. I have a few goofy videos to me doing voices.
Oh,
So
nice. Oh, I gotta check those out.
Oh yeah.
No, that's excellent, and look forward to hearing more about Terrifier 2. That's
Yes.
gonna be. Oh, I can't.
Stay tuned. I think we're going to be making some announcements coming up in the next week or so.
Oh, I
So
love it. Well,
hopefully so. Hopefully so.
excellent. That's fantastic.
Yes.
All right. Well, before I say goodbye, ladies and gentlemen, you could find this show on iTunes as well as at CrashPalaceProductions.com. And but that's all I'm gonna say because this was wonderful. It was so great to have you on. And I know we could talk for hours, so we're just gonna save all of that coolness for other shows.
Oh,
I hope. But thank you so much for coming on, David.
you're welcome. Thanks for having me, dude.
All right, thanks, man. Bye.
All right, you take care.
You too.